And the title of our lesson tonight, what happens when I read the Bible? Do you think it's important that we read the Word of God? Yes. You know, I think one of the issues that we have in our society today, and take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. One of the things that we have forgotten is that we need the Word of God. And the Word of God is a necessary part in our lives and in our churches. Isn't it sad when churches have forgotten what the Word of God is of necessity? But if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. Paul writing this second letter to the young preachers, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that a fantastic testimony? You know, there's a lot of things we can teach our children. There's a lot of things we can give to our children. There's a lot of things that we think they need, but one of the things they truly need is the Holy Scriptures. Notice, which are able to make thee wise what? Unto salvation. Folks, if they don't have the Word of God, how do they know about salvation? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to sing the songs of praise. And Lord, we thank you for Fanny Crosby and the many songs that she has written, songs of faith. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to view a video about the amazing dog. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your holy word. We pray you would bless it. And in a little while, Lord, as we take this vote, Lord, we ask that your will be done in that matter also. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. So number one, let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. The Word gives me heavenly life. John 6, 63. What a glorious adventure lays ahead for the believer. The idea of spending eternity in heaven with God. Does that just boggle your mind? To be with the Creator of the universe? Notice what it says in John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. While we are here on planet Earth, we have life both physically and spiritually. But upon the passing, we will have eternal life. And what a glorious thing that is. You know, Dad has just passed away. And it's a bittersweet thing, right? You know, our loss we put on the sign is heaven's gain. But do you think Dad would come back for me? Do you think I'll ask him to come back? No, I'm not going to ask him. Because he is there with his Savior Jesus Christ, with family members and friends. What an exciting time. The Word gives me heavenly life. Number two, the Word reveals the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2.13. 1 Thessalonians 2.13. Recently at an antique auction my wife and I were at. They were selling a lot of old signs. Signs for different things. And when they went to sell one of the signs, someone spoke up and said, "That's not an antique, that's a reproduction." Well, what was that? That was the truth. The truth needs to be spoken. And we need the truth. Society needs the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It is not from man, but it is from God himself. Why is it that we struggle so much in our society to believe the Bible? You have a thought? Why do so many people struggle with it? Cindy. Man wants to do his own thing from the very beginning of mankind, right? We've wanted to do what we want to do. But the Word of God is truth. And we need to be willing to follow after truth. And number three, the Word teaches, reproves, and corrects me. We'll go back to where we had our text, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Word teaches. Do you remember when you started to learn about the computer? Now, you knew how to type, right? Because you had typing maybe in high school or someplace along the line. I remember I had typing in high school, and the typewriter I had, and maybe you had one like this, that it was black on the bottom and red on the top. Do you remember that? Yes? How many of you remember that? Just us older guys, right? Okay, yes. But when I was in class, I liked just using the red. I don't know why. So I came in one day, and the teacher had changed the ribbon so that it was black on the bottom and black on the top. She goes, "You'll not type in red anymore, will you?" And I said, "No." But you know, you remember to type. But just because you knew how to use a typewriter, does that mean you knew how to use a computer? Man, there's all kinds of things on a computer. It's amazing. When I went off to Bible college, I took with me the typewriter my mother had used when she was in Bible college. So I had a manual typewriter. I had to get married to get an electric typewriter. Yes. But you learned the computer. But did the teacher ever fuss at you for not doing it right? Probably. They probably said, "That's not the way to do it." But it teaches, it reproves, it corrects. Most of us really don't like to be corrected. My granddaughter, Shayla, is learning to drive. She has taken some classes, and now she has to put in X number of hours. You know how it is. And she was telling me the story, and if any of you tell her I told you this, I will tell her that you lied. Okay? Can I do that? So anyways, she was making one of those Michigan turns. Don't you love those Michigan turns? And somehow she ended up on the median. Now, do you think the teacher said, "Oh, that's all right. Everybody does it"? What do you think? What did he tell her to do? Get off the median. Get off the median. But not only get off the median, don't get hit getting off it. Okay, there are times in which we are corrected. Well, the Word of God corrects us. Why do you think some people don't come to church? They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be told, "This is what we should do." Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That right there ought to tell us something, right? God has given it to us and is profitable. Isn't it good to have something that is profitable? Absolutely. It is profitable for doctrine, so that we know what is right, for reproof when we need to be corrected, for correction so we know which way to go, for instruction in what? Righteousness. Do you believe we should be righteous? There wasn't much of a response there. Do you believe that we should be righteous? Is it easy to be righteous? No. I'll tell you this, probably the only time I'm righteous is when I'm asleep. Isn't that amazing? Do you have strange dreams? I'm amazed how many times I'm here in the building and there is a work project going on. I mean, I have seen it where doors were off and snow was coming in and we were out plowing the driveway. I've had all kinds of strange dreams. But the Word of God teaches, reproves, and corrects me. Is it any wonder that some people don't want to take the time to read the Word of God? Number four, the Word cleanses me. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 26 first, but then we're going to go back to verse 21 through verse 27. But notice what it says in verse 26, that he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'm glad that wasn't me. Yes. Have you ever been in a service where an older lady's phone is going off and she doesn't know how to turn it off? Yes, I have had that on a couple of times. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, you can say amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church must proclaim the Word of God. And when a church removes the Word of God from its services, it is denying God's precious Word. And I'm going to tell you this. I know who's behind that. And he's known as the devil or Satan, that one that deceiveth the whole world. The church needs the Word of God. Number five, the Word strengthens us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, it strengthens us. I have noticed as I have gotten older that I don't seem to have the strength that I had as a younger man. But as a believer, spiritually, we can continue to get stronger right up to the day we die, right? We can get stronger spiritually. But notice what it says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. In other words, you fathers have known who? You've known Jesus Christ, he who was from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are what? Strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. We cannot overcome the wicked one in our own strength, but we can overcome the wicked one in the strength of the teachings of the word of God. You've heard this said by my dad and by me and probably other guest speakers who have said, sin will keep you from this book and this book will keep you from sin. And so it's important that we read the Word of God. Number six, the Word gives faith. Romans chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 17. Romans chapter 10,
verse 17. This is that verse that tells us that we have to give the gospel. In fact, let's read what it says in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? But let's go to verse 17. So then faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is it important that people hear the teachings of the word of God? Our children and grandchildren need to hear the preaching and teaching of the word of God. How important it is that we do this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a glorious thought that is. It is why this church has proclaimed the gospel message for 65 years, that of wanting people to know the truth so that they can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number 7, the word gives me joy. Joy. Is there a difference between joy and happiness? Now, how do we know this? Well, it's because Brother Lance told us last Sunday that there is a difference between happiness and joy. We have joy because we know the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The world doesn't know that joy. They are constantly looking for joy other places. Verse 16, Jeremiah 15. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Joy and rejoicing. You know, we can be happy about certain things. We can be happy that a sporting team has won. We can be happy that we were given a raise at work. We can be happy that we were at the grocery store and what we wanted was on sale. I was at Kroger and Swiss cheese was discounted because it was nearing its date. I don't know what that means. All I know is it was discounted and I was happy. Yes. But you can be happy about a lot of things, right? Absolutely. But the Word of God brings us joy. Something, folks, that many people have been willing to die for. You ever ponder that? They have been willing to die for the Word of God. I was reading about Reverend and Ann Judson, two young missionaries from the United States of America who went to Burma. When they went to Burma, you know how many believers there were in Burma? None. None. Yet today there are over 2 million believers because they went. What would happen if they hadn't gone? There'd be a lot of people that never would have heard the word of God. And so these two were willing to go. You say, well, his life sure must have been easy. No, he was in prison 3 times. He was sentenced to die 3 times. His wife was able 3 times to get the sentence reduced. She died shortly after his final release of malnutrition because she spent everything she had for him. And yet, would you say that if you were to ask them, was there joy in your life because you saw souls saved? They could say yes. They were willing to do what was right.